I don't think you will accept Dr. Mazzou's charter either.
Good. All this is making me think. People do need some kind of reassurance that there is an authority figure behind you. Do you think I'm old enough to start making public appearances yet?
Mentally, you have been mature enough for years. Physically, possibly. You are old enough to face motherhood, after all, although I think a more suitable mode of attire would help. Image is the paramount issue in your case.
Ione glanced down. She was wearing a pink bikini and a small green beach jacket, ideal for the swim in the cove she took each evening.
I think you may have a point there.
Tranquility had no Black Hawk docking ledges on its southern end cap. The polyp which made up that hemisphere was twice the usual thickness of the shell, so that it could incorporate the massive mineral digestion organs as well as several lake-sized hydrocarbon reservoirs. These were the organs which produced the various nutrient fluids circulating in the shell's vast network of ducts, sustaining the mitosis layer which regenerated the polyp, the star-scraper apartment, food secretion glands, the large pedestals which fed the visiting black hawks and void hawks, as well as various specialist organs responsible for environmental maintenance. Access passages to the outer shell would have been difficult to route through such a tightly packed grouping of titanic viscera. There was no non-rotational spaceport either. The external hub was taken up by a crater-like maw 1,500 meters in diameter. Its inner surface was lined with tubular cilia, 100-meter spikes that impaled the asteroidal rubble which ships boosted out of Matusko's inner ring. Once in the maw, the rocks were coated by enzymes ejected from the cilia and broken down into dust and gravel, more manageable chunks which could be ingested and consumed with ease. The lack of any spaceport outside the end cap, plus the circumfluous saltwater sea lapping around the base on the inside, meant that there was little activity on its curving slopes. The first 2 kilometers above the coves were terraced like an ancient hill farm, planted with flowering bushes and orchards tended by agronomy servitors. Above the terraces, a claggy soil clung to the ever-steepening polyp wall, a vast annular meadowland of thick grasses, whose roots strove to counteract gravity and keep the soil in place. Both grass and soil stopped short, 3 kilometers from the hub, where the polyp was virtually a vertical cliff. Right at the axis, the light tube emerged, running the entire length of the massive habitat, a cylindrical mesh of organic conductors, their powerful magnetic field containing a fluorescent plasma which brought light and heat to the interior. Michael Saldana had decided that the quiet, semi-secluded southern end cap would be an ideal site for the research project into the Lamil. Its offices and laboratories now sprawled over 2 square kilometers of the lower terraces, the largest cluster of buildings inside the habitat resembling the campus of some wealthy private university. The project director's office was on the top floor of the 5-story administration building, a squat circular pillar of copper mirror glass ringed with grey stone colonnaded balconies. It sat on the terrace at the back of the campus, 500 meters above the circumfluous sea, giving it an unsurpassed view of the cycloramic, subtropical parkland stretching away into misty distance. The view was something Parker Higgins was immensely proud of, easily the finest in Tranquility, another fitting perk due to the research project's 8th director, along with the scrumptious office itself, with its deep burgundy-coloured, ocelwood furniture that had come from Kulu in the days before the abdication crisis. Parker Higgins was 85. His appointment had come 9 years ago, almost the last act of the Lord of Ruin, and by the grace of God, plus an ancestor wealthy enough to afford some decent geneering, he would keep the post for another 9. He had left actual research behind 20 years ago to concentrate on administration. It was a field he excelled in, building the right teams, massaging mercurial egos, knowing when to push, when to ease off. Genuinely effective scientific administrators were rare, and under his leadership the project had functioned reasonably smoothly. Everyone acknowledged that. Parker Higgins liked to keep his world neat and tidy. It was one of his formulas for success, which was why he was particularly shocked to come into work one morning and find a young blonde-haired girl lounging in the deep cushioning of his straight-backed chair behind his desk.